Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Good morning. I'm John Kaminsky, Senior Fellow of the IBM Center for the Business of Government, sitting in for Albert Morales this morning. Our nation faces a range of key public policy trends, challenges, and opportunities which are likely to shape our society, the place of the United States in the world, and the role of the federal government in the decades to come. In a time of large and growing long-term fiscal imbalance, shifting demographics, concerns over economic sustainability, and national security, the nation requires a government that's results-oriented and accountable. The U.S. Government Accountability Office, or GAO, works to improve the performance and to ensure the accountability of the federal government for the benefit of the American people. With us this morning to discuss GAO's efforts in this area is our very special guest, J. Christopher Mim, Managing Director of the Strategic Issues Group at the U.S. Government Accountability Office. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, John.
Chris, before we get started, could you set some context by providing a sense of the history and mission of GAO? When was it created? What is its mission today? And who does GAO report to?
The GAO is an independent, nonpartisan agency, and we work for Congress. We're often called the congressional watchdog, and our responsibilities are to investigate how the federal government spends taxpayers' dollars and help the Congress execute its constitutional responsibilities. We've been around since 1921, and for most of our history, we're known as the General Accounting Office. Several years ago, through statutory initiative, we had our name changed to the Government Accountability Office, still kept the same brand, the GAO acronym, because it better reflected what we do today. And it's a wide range of policy analysis, program evaluations, audits and investigations on behalf of the Congress. We're about 3,100 people spread in 11 different offices around the United States. We work on a bipartisan basis for chairman and ranking members or by mandate in legislation. All of our reports, or the overwhelming majority of our reports, are available on our website at www.gao.gov and are available to the public free.
Could you tell us a little bit more about how GAO is organized, you know, about the size of its budget? You just mentioned that you had 3,100 employees and that you've got 11 field offices. Are any of those field offices overseas or are they all here in the U.S.?
They're all here in the United States. And as I mentioned, we have about the 3,100 employees. Our budget is about $490 million each year. We focus an awful lot on the outcomes that we return to the American people and the taxpayers. We measure very carefully what the financial performance of the agency is. And last year, for example, we returned $46 billion in financial accomplishments to the taxpayer. That's a $94 return on for every dollar invested in GAO.
Now, how's GAO organized? You've got several operating groups?
We have 13 different mission teams. Mm-hmm. Most of those mission teams are focused on major programmatic or organizational aspects of the executive branch. And so we have teams that focus on financial markets, mm-hmm. focus on the defense and national security and homeland security areas, focus on the environment. Strategic Issues is a bit of the team that I have the honor of leading is a bit of a different team in that we have cross-cutting responsibilities looking across the federal complex at a series of public management and governance issues that are broader, longer term, more strategic in nature.
Tell us a little bit more about your role as managing director. Like, what are your specific responsibilities or duties or some of the stuff that goes on under your area in terms of the themes or the issues and how they support the overall GAO mission?
We have a number of key programmatic areas or governance issues that we look at. We look at the nation's long-term fiscal crisis and budgeting, both from the budget process, from the congressional angle, as well as budget execution within agencies. And so we have responsibility for GAO's broad cross-cutting budget work. We have responsibility for GAO's cross-cutting work on strategic human capital management, which is one of the high-risk areas for the federal government. We have lead responsibility for work that's being done now on the decennial census, work that's on tax policy, tax administration. We look at federal regulatory policy. We look at intergovernmental and increasingly intersectoral relations. Much of that work these days is focused on the federal efforts in rebuilding post-Katrina. Mm-hmm. And then we focus on broad performance management, strategic planning, organizational alignment issues within the federal government. Much of this work is done in partnership with our colleagues and other teams around GAO to make sure that we, the agency, are presenting an integrated and sophisticated approach to the public management issues that we face.
And what do you see as the top three challenges that you face in your position? How are you addressing these kinds of challenges?
I think the top three challenges, and I think they're fairly consistent with what my colleagues across the office face, are first a growing supply-demand imbalance, you know, the available resources in order to do that. You know, the GAO budget has remained largely static, or at least has not, like many other agencies, has not kept full pace with inflation in recent years. Yet at the same time, the congressional demand for GAO audits and investigations has skyrocketed, which is a good thing. It shows that we're being responsive to the client and they're seeing value in what they're getting from the GAO. But making sure that we have a good understanding of congressional priorities, making sure that we're doing the work for the Congress that matters, and how we balance all that off is, you know, one of the big challenges that we face. Second, directly related to that, is making sure that we are attracting, retaining, developing the high quality talent that we need to, you know, to be successful, not just today in terms of executing the engagements that we have, but also tomorrow. And tomorrow meaning 5, 10, 15, and 20 years out, making sure that we have in place, in other words, both a recruitment and retention strategy and development strategy that makes sure that people are engaged and having their career aspirations met by working at GAO and strategic mm-hmm. issues. The third challenge that we face is making sure that we are doing the right work on the important issues that confront the Congress. And that means making sure that the engagements that we do, which is, you know, what ends up eventually in a blue book, as that's our term, engagements, make sure that the engagements are really delivering demonstrable results to the American people. That ROI number that I mm-hmm. referred to earlier, making sure that we're getting financial results from that, making sure that we're getting non-financial accomplishments for that, making sure that our work is focused on demonstrable outcomes.
Could you describe for our listeners your career path? You know, like how did you begin your career and wind up where you are today?
It's through a very odd route, you know, that I was both in undergraduate and in graduate school, I was a political philosophy major. I was in graduate school, I was on a PhD track to eventually get a doctorate, and then I was looking forward to teaching. And then I had the wonderful opportunity, I was at the University of Virginia for graduate school, I had the wonderful opportunity of taking a couple of courses from Don Kettle, who is now with the Fells Institute at the University of Pennsylvania. And it's one of those kind of life-changing set of courses that I was exceedingly fortunate, as I said. And that caused me, and with a variety of other reasons, to really change my focus and think about more about GAO. We were very fortunate at that point at UVA that Fritz Mosher was in residence at UVA, and he was the preeminent scholar on GAO at that point. And so we had pretty much a direct transmission belt into GAO if you did well at UVA, and I was very fortunate to do that. So I've been at GAO about 25 years now, and it's just a fantastic place to work. What I have found is obviously, first and foremost, it's the quality of the colleagues that you have at GAO and the people that you get to work with. I mean, every single day, every single meeting that I go into, I'm just re-impressed about the intellect, experience, sophistication of my colleagues at GAO. Likewise, it's the ability to work on a variety of wide-ranging issues that really matter. And then the third thing that I find so appealing about GAO is how much we do try and track the results of our work. We work so hard to make sure we understand the results that taxpayers get from their investment in GAO.
That's really cool. Now, how does this your previous experience prepared you for your current leadership role, and how has it shaped your management approach or leadership style?
I think the single most important thing that has prepared me is I've been very, very fortunate at just about every point in my career to have a good set of mentors and supervisors and leaders for myself that I could try and model in very imperfect and inadequate ways, but nonetheless, you know, see how what they were doing and then do my best to take from that and give back and use that as my approach to management. One of the key things that I learned, you know, from managers all throughout that I've had the honor to work for is the importance of collaboration, the importance of bringing people in to decisions, both to get, you know, the best guidance and perspective that from people when I have to make a decision, but also to get buy-in from those that would be affected by that decision. And I've always found that, you know, that to be the key to any good decision I've ever made is making sure that I've reached out and brought in the right set of people. And fortunately, there have only been a few cases, but in those few cases that I know of that I thought, geez, I didn't handle that right. If there's been a common element, it's been I didn't involve the people that I could have and should have involved in that decision.
Well, that's great advice. How does GAO improve government performance and accountability? We'll ask Chris Mim, Managing Director of Strategic Issues at the U.S. Government Accountability Office, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.